prepare yourself for the clash of punk rock, politics, and your uncensored, unafraid host, Remso W. Martinez. You are about to experience the Remso Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to what I'm hoping your favorite podcast is at this point in time, the Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Welcome back, and for those of you that are brand new listeners, you've made a great choice. I don't know what choices you've made today. I don't know who you are or where you are, but if you're listening to the show, this is a good life achievement in its own, because it's awesome. And because you're listening to it, you're awesome. And everyone likes to feel awesome. But enough about you and me being awesome and everything being awesome. It's like the Lego movie. We're here to talk about some things that have actually been bothering quite a few people these days. I've been watching the news. From Colin Kaepernick, that whole situation we talked about last week, to the new Trump care system, to Hillary's body double. It's gotten to the point where things have become less depressing and it's become more comedic. And things right now are more comedic because everything is so depressing. But how can they be so depressing when everything is awesome? Well, I'm going to ask our guest that. Today we have our special guest. He's an IT professional, former presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party nomination. Ladies and gentlemen, we have our guest tonight, Kevin McCormick. Kevin, how are you?
Great. Happy to be here.
Awesome. Just out of curiosity, I know that the primary in Arizona was several weeks ago. You and the show's friend Marissa Hamilton were running as write-ins, and you needed to garner a certain amount of writing votes to actually be on the ballot in November. Can you give us any updates on that?
Yeah, unfortunately, the Republican and Democrats this year passed new ballot laws in Arizona that make it almost impossible for libertarians to be on the ballot. So the state party, we're trying to run a write-in campaign to get around that. But unfortunately, the registered libertarians in Arizona didn't really show up at the polls to support us. So none of our write-in candidates made it into the general election.
What the hell?
Yeah, yeah. All they had to do was, show up at the polls and write in some names, but it didn't happen.
Well.
So we're starting things off on a cheery note today.
And now we've just taken kind of a turn. Things aren't all that bad, though. This is going to sound really cynical, but what was it? Dr. Kelly Ward lost her primary against John McCain. I've got to be honest. As terrible as John McCain is, if he were to go away, I think all those glorious John McCain memes online would go with him. I just saw one recently of him sticking his tongue out trying to grab a child, and underneath it said, "I must feast on your heart in order to nourish myself." I mean, if you want to talk about the walking dead of politicians, John McCain is not going anywhere anytime soon.
No. In Arizona, unfortunately, we are a state who is the poster child for the need for term limits. Between John McCain and the racist criminal of Joe Arpaio that runs our Maricopa Sheriff Department, we need reasons to stop people from voting for these people, but it just doesn't happen, unfortunately.
No, I hear you. And for those of you listening that don't know, I was born and raised in Arizona. I moved out when I was very young because I'm a military brat, so I moved around the country and around the world, but I still call Arizona my home. Kevin, where in Arizona are you actually calling from tonight?
I am calling from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Nice. You know where Sierra Vista is?
I do.
Perfect. That's my hometown. And I just found out recently we have some Sierra Vista listeners, which is great. I'm just curious, with the wall and everything, I haven't been back to Arizona in years. I don't keep up with many of my friends back there. Do people there actually want a wall? I thought taco trucks on every corner would be awesome for them.
Yeah, no, it's the classic example of the media discussions. And I'm from Ohio originally. And, you know, when I used to travel back to Ohio when I first moved out here, you know, people there thought we had rampant, illegal immigrants running across the state all the time. And it's just not reality.
I remember, I think it was back in maybe 2006, there was ICE was doing a massive crackdown And I remember as I was flying into the Tucson airport, my grandmother picked my brother and I up. And as we were driving back to Sierra Vista, we just saw helicopters everywhere. And it reminded me of this one time as a kid, we were driving my cousins who lived in California at the time. We were driving them to the Tucson airport. And for those of you that don't know, Arizona is great because not only do we have cacti and Maricopa County and everything else, but we have we have immigration checkpoints everywhere. So we stop at one of these immigration checkpoints, and the vehicle behind us has this guy, and my dad, who's driving the car, he's looking at the rearview mirror, and he's just like, that guy's really kind of shifty. So as we go up to the Border Patrol agent, he's looking in the car, and the first thing he sees is he sees four kids, my mom and my dad, and he suddenly thinks, oh, there are a bunch of people in here. They must be trafficking people. So he's interrogating my dad, who's a U.S. citizen. For crying out loud. He's interrogating us, trying to be tough. The dude in the car behind us literally jumps out of the front seat and starts just randomly running into the desert. So my cousins and I are just looking at this dude, and we're like, Dad, tell the guy that he's running. And the guy's like, tell your kids to be quiet. And my dad's like, no, look, that dude is literally running. So he looks up. He's like, oh, crap. And next thing you know, we see, like, every border agent just, like, chasing this Mexican into the desert. And what do? We drive off.
Yep.
Fun times. But,
I was going to say that sounds about right. I always have a little fun with those checkpoints, but yeah.
Kevin, you're as white as they come. What's your problem with those checkpoints?
it's my normal problem with, questioning of me. That's in a violation of my rights. I have the right not to talk to you, and I don't really need to answer your questions because I am a U.S. citizen, and there's no other reason for you to be talking to me. I have not broken any laws.
There you go. You know, it's strange. I actually know some, quote, libertarians that actually like those border checkpoints. I also know a bunch of libertarians that are jumping on the Trump train, and they're making an excuse for, like, almost every policy that Trump comes out with. And that's actually where I want to start leading things off more seriously right now. For those of you that haven't been paying attention, Trump recently released his new maternity leave plan for low-income families, where basically he will force employers to give female employees 6 weeks of paid maternity leave, regardless of what they do or what's going on. He's essentially copying what they have in Canada and other countries throughout Western civilization. And as I'm watching this, I'm just like, oh, great. Now things are going to be more difficult for women, because as if the wage gap was real, let's assume it is, now their businesses are going to be hiring less women because they have to take more responsibility for them. If you are a woman, you're probably going to be making less in your job because now your employer has to save up in case you get pregnant or something. And it's just making everything more difficult because of that. I'm just curious, Kevin, what do you think is the attraction that libertarians have to, like, defending every welfare expansion or status policy that Trump is putting out right now? Because it's gotten to the point where I literally don't understand it. I don't know where these people are coming from. Do you have any insight?
I have no idea how anybody could be supporting the Trump and his policies myself, especially if they call themselves a libertarian. I fall more on the side of just the complete irony and the walking hypocrite that Trump is, and, well, Clinton for that matter. I mean, you know, Donald supposedly employs all these people around the world and in the United States. Why doesn't he start with his own companies? He can start offering 6 weeks as a paid maternity leave tomorrow. You know, so why doesn't he start leading by example? But, you know, it's the classic. He doesn't want to lead by example with his money. He wants to do it with our money. The taxpayers' money and other people's money, not his own money.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with Hillary Clinton. The hilarious thing is she adopted Bernie Sanders' $15 minimum wage plan. But what's absolutely hilarious is that she doesn't even pay her interns $15 an hour. She pays them just minimum wage. And some people I know are working for free. And some people I know are doing these underhanded deals, getting paid even less than that. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. But go ahead.
I was going to say no at all. No, it doesn't make any sense at all. And it's it is the classic intern scam that's out there. Work for free because you're going to get great business experience or whatever other experience that Clinton might be throwing at somebody. But the reality is people are doing work and they should be paid for their work. But I also fault the system and people themselves. You know, people forget that they have a value. And when you let someone undermine the value you provide by underpaying you or not valuing you correctly, then, you know, you're accepting
what they have set for you in the marketplace. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that people today have, is they don't realize they do have the power. They do have some power in these situations, and they should not allow someone to undermine the value they provide.
Exactly. Kevin, we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break, because there's a pretty interesting question I want to ask you that I want to give a little bit longer time for you to have the floor to. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment right after this commercial break.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
This year, the Libertarian Party is breaking through. We need to make sure that our elected representatives are people who put principle over power. That's why I'm asking all libertarians across the country to help me, Alex Merced, run for U.S. Senate here in New York. With your support, I'll be spreading the message of peace, markets, tolerance, and individualism to people all across the state of New York, and also promote participation in the Libertarian Party. Help me spread that message and promote participation in the Libertarian Party with a donation at alexmercedforny.com. I promise you, every dollar will go to spreading the message and promoting the party. My name is Alex Merced, and I approve this message.
When did failure become sexy? When did repeating the same mistake over and over again sound smart? I'm Lucy Brenton, candidate for U.S. Senate, and like you, I'm worried about the future of our country. I've taught my children simple principles, which our government has forgotten. Live within your budget. Don't hurt people, and don't take their stuff. We remember those simple kindergarten rules. Isn't it time our government does? To learn more, check out my website, lucyforsenate.com. That's lucyforsenate.com. Join me and make your vote count on November 8th. My name is Lucy Brenton, and I approve this message.
Welcome back to the show. So, Kevin, one thing I love to see on TV is I love it whenever you're on RT America and you're jumping in giving the libertarian perspective on things, because you do it in a way which is clear, it keeps people interested, and you get to the points in a quick way that anyone can understand. You're much better than Gary Johnson is on that, because whenever I see Gary Johnson or Bill Weld on TV trying to explain libertarian ideas, it's just, you know, I want to like start shoving bamboo shoots up my nails. But one of the best interviews I think you did was when you kind of went back and forth with, Mr. Tom Hartman recently. And it came to the point where he was essentially calling libertarians selfish people that were all bought and paid for by the corporations and everything else. And some people are like, well, you know, libertarians are selfish, but in a different type of way. So I'm just curious, when people call libertarians selfish, how do you typically respond to that?
You know, it's not being selfish. And it goes back to what I was just saying earlier about not understanding your own value in the marketplace and demanding that value for yourself. And, you know, I think it's one of the biggest problems with these socialists, and people are like, hey, that guy up there is making a lot more money than me, so I should be taking from him. What people forget is you set your value in the marketplace. You are not being selfish. You have the ability to say, no, I will not accept your ridiculous wage, and go out there and search for a higher wage. And people forget about making people understand their value to the market. If you think you are not being paid the acceptable rate that you should be receiving, then there's either a problem with you are not understanding that you aren't that valuable, or you are not explaining your value to people in the marketplace. And I think that is the biggest problem that people have today, is they don't properly communicate and attach what they can do to help a business or grow a business and attach it to the values they need. When you attach yourself to a business need, you can start claiming and raising your salary yourself, and you don't need the government involved.
Exactly. And the funniest thing about that is when Hartman goes and he accuses libertarians of being selfish, he's essentially saying that progressives are selfless, which is hilarious because there's nothing more selfish than saying, I'm entitled to your wealth, I'm entitled to your liberties, I'm entitled to your property, I'm entitled to your life in some cases. And it's just ridiculous.
It is. And I was actually in Washington, D.C. earlier this week out at RT America doing some more interviews and things. And, you know, that the Tom Hartman interview that you guys saw was actually it was a blatant ambush by him. It was not what we were supposed to be talking about. So it was a fun surprise ambush. Enjoyed having it. But what really blew me away is I found out from some people that I guess Tom Hartman at one point was a libertarian. So I don't know how he fell off the tracks and went completely to socialism when he was formerly a libertarian, but you know, I just don't know what happened to him. That's like, along the way.
Oh my gosh, that's like his Count Dooku moment. You go from being a Jedi to a Sith Lord.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. This is news to me. It's really funny too because I was recently, you know, I had my Old Testament with me, and I was reading the story of the Apostle Paul and how he used to basically, you know, slaughter and persecute Christians constantly. And next thing you know, all he does is he goes on the road to Damascus and, you know, God intervenes, and next thing you know, he's planting churches all across the world. So he's like the anti-Apostle Paul because he's essentially a messenger for tyranny these days. But, I mean, oh my gosh, Tom Hartman, libertarian. I'm trying to picture that right now. Oh, that's
– yeah,
that's
scary. Yeah. It threw me off when someone informed me of that when I was in D.C. this week, and I was just like, no, I just can't see, you know, that happening. But you know, as well, it seems Tom and a lot of other people, they love to live in the past, except for when it comes to their own policies and things of that nature. You know, you want to talk about what happened in the 70s and the 80s, I'm busy living in today, you know, the world we're in today.
Exactly. And
with his socialist utopia that is called Venezuela, where it has the second highest murder rate in the world. I mean, that sounds like a great place to live. I loved it.
Yeah, you know, I heard they're eating zoo animals now.
Yes, you know, and I'd love to not feel safe for my wife and children to be out when it's dark because they could be raped and murdered at any time. I mean, boy, I think everybody should be on board with that solution.
You know, it's just I think we should have just elected Bernie and we could have had our own Venezuela paradise. At, you know, hindsight's 2020. But that I want to kind of rewind a little bit. Just talking about selfishness. I mean, I came into libertarianism from Ayn Rand and her philosophy of objectivism in a way through books like Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. And, you know, if I know I'm playing armchair quarterback here, but I think the answer that you gave back to Tom in that little debate you guys had during your rebuttal, I think it was perfect. I mean, I'm just thinking, how would I have answered it if I was in your position? And my thing would have been, I would have pulled the, you know, I would have turned the tables on. I would have been like, heck yeah, I'm selfish. I want to keep what I earn. What is mine, and what's yours is yours. And men are born with natural rights endowed to them by their creator, and no one or no entity has the right to take them away. So heck yeah, I'm selfish. And besides, Tom Hartman, if he was such a proletariat going up against the aristocracy and the bourgeois, he dresses pretty nicely. He has that nice job. He's getting paid to talk. I wonder how much money Tom Hartman gives to charity after taxes and everyone else. I wonder if it would be funny if I, a college student, actually give more to charity than Tom Hartman does.
Oh no. Yeah. It's one of those wonderful things that, you know, I wish we could have thrown out there when we were talking for our quick 6 minutes there, or to anyone who thinks that these Bernie Sanders solutions are great. My question is, great. You want free healthcare. You want all these things. Well, then, of course, then as soon as you get done with your day job every day, you are going immediately to a local clinic or a hospital and donating your time, right? Because that is the easiest way for you to help reduce the cost of healthcare today. And you're out there donating your own personal time to those organizations. And you know, the amazing thing is I have yet to meet one person that's in favor of these policies that is out there donating their free time, their value in the marketplace to those organizations. No, instead, they want to take from the value that someone else has created to give to somebody who's not willing to help create that value. Everyone has that ability to go out and help. You could go out and donate your time to local charities, to a local hospital, and improve healthcare for everyone if that's what you want. But people don't do that. They want to take instead.
exactly. Now, Kevin, when let me phrase the question this way. Let's say you're not just going out and you're not just trying to sell Gary Johnson the candidate. You're out. You're going to your friends and your coworkers and you're trying to teach them what libertarianism is. And they have all these misconceptions about capitalism and the free market. All the examples you've thrown out there are true thus far. But if let's say you had to give your elevator pitch for capitalism, for free enterprise, for everything else, how do you market it to a person that thinks things are better when the government is in charge without throwing in the Venezuela example? Because, you know, liberals and socialists and progressives and the alternate right, they don't listen to facts and everything else. How do you make them feel it?
You know, an example, and, you know, surprisingly enough, as someone who once ran for president this year, my friends don't hear a lot of political conversation from me. I like to keep my friends, but we also are able to have open conversations, which is why I'm also different than a lot of people out there. But we have all experienced the free market at work in our lifetime. At least all of us, let's say under 40, well, everyone alive has, but a lot of people don't know this about me. I've always been in IT. I was on the internet before people knew what the internet was as a young teenager. And what we experienced in the 90s and early 2000 with the internet was the most open free market experience that most people have ever experienced in their lifetime. And then once, you know, 2000 and the internet bubble happened and was done, and the telco companies started to merge and gobble up the smaller players that were affected by the internet bubble burst, then we got to see the free market disappearing. And we experience that today. Everything we have, the new technology, the new developments in our lifetime, were accomplished because of the free market that occurred before 2000. You saw an inflow of capital that just went into businesses. People didn't understand this. And part of it was from the deregulation of the phone companies. When we broke up, the government broke up AT&T, who had a monopoly across the country, and broke it up into the seven baby bells. That opened up the country to innovation and the free flow of capital, where someone thought they could make more money and increase value in the country. A lot of people just focus on the bubble that occurred afterwards and it bursting, but you never hear anybody fighting and feeling sorry for the people who lost hundreds of millions of dollars in failed investments in what is now the infrastructure that drives the backbone of the internet in this country. And that was accomplished because regulation was removed from the equation. And as soon as that bubble burst, you'll notice that our major telcos went from the seven baby bells we had, they combined down to the three major telcos we have today. And the first thing they started doing was asking for more regulations so they could prevent competition against themselves in the marketplace. We've seen it happen in our lifetime today, the free market and how it can operate.
Kevin, I'm just curious, right now, within the next couple of weeks, the president's going to be giving away control of the internet. Do you know about that situation?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so right now it seems like the only person in Washington helping us out is Senator Ted Cruz. And here's the thing I hate about the media. They focus on the things that don't matter, like that freaking Colin Kaepernick. It did not matter. But something serious is actually about to happen that's going to impact us far after the election and everything else. And no one is talking about it. And the only person out there trying to do anything about it is Ted Cruz. But aside from that, I've been posting a lot online, updates about this whole situation. I'm trying to argue for why giving away control of the internet is a bad idea. And right now I have a bunch of, quote, libertarians again saying, well, what's wrong with giving it control to other people? What's wrong with having the UN look more into it? Can you kind of explain why giving away control of the internet is a bad idea? Or if you support it, why you support it? I mean, I'm just curious because this is something that no one's talking about right now.
No, I mean, it's a big complicated issue, and it's one of the reasons actually why I jumped into the presidential election was because of the stupidity coming out of Washington and around the iPhone and the FBI trying to force Apple to make backdoors into their technology. The reality is, we have people who are passing laws and regulations right now who
they don't even understand how their smartphone works. And that is just straight up frightening to me as someone who does understand how these things work, who has developed networks, some of the most largest and complicated networks in the world, and now has, you know, is more focused on the mobile security side of things. These folks, you know, 60, 70 year old grandma and grandpas sitting in our Congress and in our, you know, executive offices don't even have a clue how these things work. They should not be involved in regulating them or anything in the process because they are absolutely clueless on how these things work. When you allow the marketplace to work in these situations, like I was saying earlier, when we had the early 90s, you're going to have booms and busts. You're going to have problems. But when you allow the market to take over and control these situations, then we can allow growth and you cannot worry about the regulation. The reality is the government's not getting out of the internet. They've passed their silly net neutrality laws that, by like I said before, a bunch of people who have no idea how the internet and the global backbone and our national backbone of technology works, just because people were worried that, hey, I may not be able to get my Netflix as fast as I like. I mean, it's mind-boggling to me that when I have the FCC, you know, requiring that high-speed internet access is now a utility and that everyone in the country has a right to this. This is not a right. The ability to download your porn or your Netflix is not a right the government should be involved in. And when you allow the government to come in, it stops innovation and investment into these networks. Because today, or in the past, what people didn't realize is we had this thing called quality of service that I could put on certain types of traffic. And companies would pay for that extra level of service. That level of service that would require Verizon or AT&T to want to invest in their network here in the United States. Net neutrality and things like that the government have gotten involved in have actually stopped investment into the infrastructure that is going to drive the next revolution in this country. And it's once again the government doing things that they think are going to help this, you know, Joe Schmo get his Netflix faster, but instead it's going to stop us from being competitive in the global marketplace.
Well, folks, you heard it from the expert himself. Kevin, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break for the program. Folks, you're listening to the REMZO Republic. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
REMZO in the mix.
Today's program is brought to you by Jeff Peterman at the Conservinator Nation. Have you not heard of it yet? Well, for those of you that don't know, the Conservinator Nation is the newest project of former congressional candidate Jeff Peterman. Jeff is a strong and strident conservative and a Christian, and with his newest podcast, The Conservinator Nation, he's trying to basically give people like him a voice outside of the media. Because if we know one thing, it's that the media is not friendly to the ideas of anyone that's not a progressive liberal. And while Jeff and I may have different points, what we need are a free market of ideas, and Jeff is offering that to you. So go ahead and check him out at Jeff Peterman-Conservinator on Facebook, and also check out his website, www.conservinator.com. Check it out today.
Hello, my name is Alex Merced, and a great way to promote the libertarian message is through libertarian media. Blogs, podcasts, videos. At libertarianwingmedia.com, it's an open door policy for any libertarian who would like to contribute. So just email me at alexmerced@alexmerced.com and I'll set you up as an author. At libertariansocial.com, you can have a profile, create groups, become friends with other members, message other members, and post blogs. At libertarian101.com, you'll find several videos on pretty much any question you can think of and any issue libertarian. So check those out and make sure to subscribe to great libertarian podcasts, such as the Alex Merced Cast, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad, Lions of Liberty, and the REMZO Republic. Thank you very much.
America invented it, and it has proven to be an amazing oasis of freedom. Free speech, each of us able to speak our views online, and free enterprise. millions of new businesses able to be opened online without any government pre-approval. But all of that could change. Right now, the Obama administration is trying to push through a radical proposal to give away control of the internet to foreign countries. From the very first days of the internet, the American government has maintained domain names and ensured equal access to everyone with no censorship whatsoever. Obama wants to give that power away to an international body called ICANN, which would empower countries like Russia and China and Iran. This internet giveaway poses a great threat to our country's freedom and our national security. Russia and China and Iran don't have a First Amendment. They don't protect free speech, and they actively censor the internet. ICANN could do the same thing, putting foreign countries in charge of what you can say online, prohibiting speech that they disagree with. Foreign governments are already planning to take ICANN and move it overseas so that it not only escapes U.S. law, but in effect turns into a mini United Nations. Unfortunately, Congress hasn't been willing to affirmatively act to prevent this giveaway before the transfer date on September 30th, 2016. That's why I've introduced the Protecting Internet Freedom Act to immediately stop this transfer and protect American sovereignty. Time is running out, and it's going to take the power of the American people and Congress to save the internet. We must keep the internet free. Free of taxes, free of regulation, and free of censorship. America built the internet, and we shouldn't be giving it away to our enemies.
Welcome back. We still have our guest for tonight's episode, Kevin McCormick. Now, for those of you that message the page, you're part of our fan group on Facebook, the Remser Republic Nation. You can go online right now, and as long as you seem like a real person, producer Ryan will do a quick check of your profile to make sure you're not like, you know, African Nigerian prince asking for money and all that stuff. We'll let you into the group, and you could chat with producer Ryan and myself, and you could, you know, we just have fun. I don't want to give away too much of the details because it's awesome. I think the theme of the show is awesome. I'm sidetracking. It's awesome. Go ahead on Facebook right now and join the Remser Republic Nation and join in on the fun. But for those of you that have been listening to the show for a while, you remember that we used to have our game segment, Lightning Round. That went away because we just didn't think that anyone was really interested in it. We started just continuing the show till the end. But now people want something back, because when we talk about all things political, sometimes we need to decompress. Speaking of decompressing, this brings me to the main point. Kevin, you're going to be kind of on the chopping block tonight. We're testing out our brand new game segment, Word Association from Hell. Where basically I'm going to tell you a word and you have to say the first thing that pops into your mind. As we progress, things are going to speed up a little bit. We have a certain number of words that if you can get to the end, I'll go ahead and let you know if you won. If you start to stutter, fumble, all that stuff, you lose. So the big question right now, Kevin, are you ready?
I am ready. And as you said earlier, everything is awesome.
Everything is awesome. Let's go. SpongeBob.
Terrible.
Captain America.
My kid's favorite costume.
Trump.
Moron.
Iowa.
Shouldn't start off the election process.
Obamacare.
A disaster.
Sandwich.
Tasty.
Internet.
Leave it alone.
Tom Hanks.
Oh, man. All I can think of, I was thinking about it, is what was it, Bachelor Pad or whatever that movie you did way back when.
That counts.
What popped in my head.
That counts.
Yes.
Footloose.
Don't put baby in the corner.
Metallica.
Headache.
Benghazi.
Hillary's disaster.
Tim Kaine.
Who? Just kidding.
Jobs.
Freedom.
Stimulus.
Get out of my pocketbook.
Taxes.
Theft.
Gun.
I can own one.
Bread.
Makes me shit.
TV.
I have celiac disease.
TV.
Biased.
Facebook.
Almost free.
Britney Spears.
She's skinny again, right?
I think she's bald. Anyway, let's continue. CNN.
Unbelievably biased.
Sean Hannity.
Oh, God, what a disaster.
Conservative.
Can you find one?
Ann Coulter.
Bitch. That's what came to mind first.
The drug war is a failure. Get rid of it.
Oh, you libertarians and pot. First of all...
And heroin and oxycodone and all of it.
Look, this is why people think libertarians are...
Beer.
I used to love them. Now I can't drink them.
Liberty.
Freedom.
Patriot Act.
Oh, God. How many disastrous freedom-stopping words can I throw in there? It is the exact opposite of patriot.
College loans.
The largest scam of our generation.
Bernie Sanders.
Can you go away already?
Black Lives Matter.
All lives matter.
There you go, folks. Kevin McCormick wins tonight. Epic, epic beginning of the new game segment, Word Association from Hell. Good job, Kevin.
Thank you. Thank you.
Not a problem. So to kind of sum things up, since we are kind of changing the format, one thing I'm introducing based off fan request is regardless of whether or not you believe in it or you don't, for those of those listening who are men and women of faith, what's one thing that we can do to pray for you or family or your friends? What's one thing that you'd like us to do to pray on your behalf?
I don't really need your prayers. I think there's other people in the world that need it. I am a very lucky man. I have a wonderful wife and children at home. I have nothing to complain about in my life because I fight for freedom and making my own choices. So I think there's other people out there. Let's pray for the Hillary and Trump supporters and hope that they see the light of liberty.
Perfect. Kevin, if people want to follow you online, follow you on all your epic fights against communism and totalitarianism and everything else, how can they do so?
You can find me on Facebook, Kevin McCormick 2016. You can find me on Twitter. I am K McCormick 2016 there as well. Follow me and you'll see some interesting posts and other things that I rumblings of the day and my other fights against the corruption that is our government. And I hope you do follow me. Sometimes I think I'm entertaining. So come on over.
Perfect. Kevin, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was an absolute blast having you on.
No problem. Glad to be here.
All right, folks. Well, where do we go from here? Definitely go online and go to Ted Cruz's website. There you can sign a petition actually saying we don't want to give away the internet, along with everything else. You heard from Kevin at the beginning how the state of Arizona basically screwed over all these down-ticket candidates because of their write-in procedures. But for those of you that are Libertarian Party members, the down ballot is what keeps the party going. We need everyone involved. Whether you like the electoral process or not, what you invest in is what you get more of. And when you don't invest in things that have your better interest, guess what? You're going to get things from other people that go against what's in your better interest. But, you know, that's for you to decide. Be a little selfish. Fight for yourself. If no one else is going to fight for you, what do you have to lose? Be brave. Do something about it. But the real question right now is, how can you be awesome? You can be awesome by subscribing to the show on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, Stitcher,
If you don't remember the whole list of places that you can subscribe to, don't worry. Check out the website, rwmartinez.liberty.me. Click the podcast tab, and everything is there. As always, I'm your host, Remso W. Martinez. Screw the FCC. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?